Well, here we are.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us, and the guys just handed me the sheriff's office responded to a wildfire in the area of 17,000 block of West Platte River. They're working on containing the fire. Believes it's a downed power line that may have started. So thank you. I appreciate that, guys, for doing that for me. Randy Wilson joining us next. He is with the Family Research Council. Randy, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, John. How are you? You know, you've done a great work over the years, just speaking the truth day after day. I so appreciate that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate those kind words, and really appreciate what you guys have done as well. You guys have really been a staple in in the world in general, not just in the Christian community, but in the world in general, and have done a great job. Talk about, though, what's coming up here on June 19th.
Yeah, June 19th is our Stand Courageous Men's Conference that we are doing across the country. It's become a national event. We've got over 11 states flying in to be at this. It's Saturday the 19th. That's a week from Saturday, right before Father's Day. So that would be a great Father's Day gift to send your father, your husband who is a father, to this event and have him return home with a new vision on how to lead at the home. It's up at Cares Bible College. It runs from 7:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And one day, it'll be a tremendous time. The men that come in, they get to hear, understand, talk about the masculine issues that are facing us, that being toxic, and to walk out with a new identity and courage to stand, because now they know who they are and where they're supposed to stand.
Which, you know, we dramatically need. And talked Randy to last hour, which, you know, there's a great film coming out right along the lines of what you're talking about here, other than it's actually, you know, talking about what happens when there aren't fathers in the home. And you know, this particular gentleman, Lee Habib, has actually got a movie out, The Streets Were My Father, and it basically talks about three gentlemen, Randy, that grew up without a father and what happened to each one of them, and they all ended up in prison, fortunately found the Lord in prison, and have since come out and want to make a difference in the world since doing so. But one of the stats that I saw you look at this and it's mind-boggling. 2.3 million people in America are serving time in prison. 85% of youths in prison come from fatherless homes. That's 20 times the average household that has a father present.
Yeah, it's astounding. John, what we will be discussing are the current issues of toxic masculinity from the perspective of biblical masculinity. See, in today's confusing culture of gender, we really need a reset for our men and the young men coming up after us to what God created them to be. See, we have an identity. God made us as providers, as instructors, as defenders. He's made us warriors. And our young men, our boys, have been taught the exact opposite. They're being reformed in the shape of more of a feminine way of living
That's
and
right.
being.
So, that's right. No, Randy, I don't mince any words. You know that. We are teaching young men how to be young women, not how to be young men. And I don't care if anybody gets mad at what I just said. It's the truth. That's what's happening. It's why we end up with young men that are confused, that want to switch genders. I mean, we've got all this garbage, and that's what I'm going to call it, Randy. It literally is garbage that is being spewed out from, I'm going to say it, the core is Satan. He uses the left as his tool to get these things done. He knows as well as you and I that if he can get these young men on that track and they never become the leaders in their home they need to be, he wins.
That's right. And hey, y'all, StandCourageous.com is the website. StandCourageous.com. And I want to get this out before I forget it. All first responders in active military attend free.
Oh, nice.
So make sure everybody knows that. Active military and first responders, we invite in free. They just need to call an 800 number. If you guys can put that up on your website or somewhere, they can call that, identify themselves, and then join us. No, the anger that we see among the young men and in the culture, and where does that come from? I see it's been said that the people perish for a lack of knowledge. I believe, and I see, that the anger comes from the young men because they don't know their history.
Right.
They don't know who they are.
Right.
And, you know, if you don't know who you are or where you've come from, you're not going to know where to go from here. So there's a confusion and there's a frustration in the hearts and minds of these young boys because intuitively they know they're supposed to be warriors, leaders. They have an idea where their place is, but culture
yep.
is screaming at them
That's right.
to get out of there.
That's right. You're right. And, you know, Randy, I can see this even in my own, I mean, I've seen it in my own life, and I fortunately had a great dad that instilled all these things that you're talking about yeah. in me, and I'm very, very thankful, you know, for that. I wouldn't be where I'm at without him.
I hear you.
But I see in my own grandkids, my grandboys, grandsons, I should say, and I've got, yeah. you know, girls and boys, but the grandsons, and by the way, you can see a huge difference in the genders at a very, very early age. For those of you that are out there on the left that don't believe me, I'm sorry. You are sorely mistaken because you can see it plain as day, Randy. My 2 and 4 year old grandsons, you know, you talk about the warrior side of the fence. I mean, they want to wrestle, they want to conquer, they want to divide, and they're doing all of this at the age of 2 and 4. But somewhere between 2 and 4 and 20, all of that gets lost. Right?
Yeah,
am I right?
No, you're absolutely right. Because they want to be loved, they want to be accepted, and so they kind of mold into where that affirmation is.
Mm.
And John, this is one of the most important things we do at this conference. We finish it with a talk on what the Father's blessing is, and then we invite men to receive a Father's blessing. I'm telling you, there's three aspects of that.
Yeah.
It's identity, it's affirmation, and it's direction. All of that comes from the Word of God. All of that was modeled by Father God
yeah.
in the Gospels when Jesus, when he blessed Jesus from the heavens.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing. John, you know, I've got 17 grandchildren. 13 of them are grandsons. And there's a pocket that were born. There are 5 of them that were born within a 2-month period of time.
Oh, man.
So when the cousins get together.
Yep.
All those sons, I mean, get out of town.
Yep.
Yesterday, one of the 5-year-olds got 3 stitches in his forehead because his twin brother threw something at him and split his head. I mean, these guys are rough, they're rugged. They
yep.
want to get on the ground, as you said, and go after it. Well, let's not push that aside.
Amen.
Let's help form that, give it yep. direction,
That's right.
and speak into it, and yep. say, this is who we're made to be, but this is how we control all of that energy into something
right.
that is great.
Which, by the way, can be done. A lot of us are living proof of that, Randy, yourself
Absolutely.
Included. And again, I appreciate it, sir. Lord bless you. You guys are great. I appreciate all you do. You're welcome anytime, by the way. I feel bad. I don't have you guys on near as much as I should. You're doing a fabulous work, and we should have you on more. And I do appreciate all you do, sir.
And to you, John, as well. StandCourageous.com.
Randy, have a great evening, and we'll mention this again next week, sir.
All right, John.
All right, man. Appreciate it very much. And again, Family Research Council, Randy Wilson. Those are some great guys, by the way. General Jerry Boykin was supposed to be with us today, but Randy had to fill in for him. And those are the kind of individuals that are actually running that organization that will be there. Tony Perkins, Bishop Larry Jackson, Stu Weber, among others. It'll be a great time. And you men that really need that extra shot in the arm right now, it would be worth your while to go to that. Scott Garlis will be joining us here in just 1 minute from Stansberry Research. Geno's Auto Service, though, is next. And no matter what is needed on your vehicle, the crew at Geno's can take care of it, whether it's just simple, normal maintenance all the way to heavy-duty repair. Maybe there's a light on that no one else has been able to fix. You name it, they can take care of you. Geno'sAutoservice.com, Geno's with a J, 303-794-6700.
Now's the time to take advantage of Geno's Napa Break Special. This month, get a $50 Napa prepaid Visa card with a qualifying Napa Brakes parts purchase of $250 or more. For over 38 years, Geno's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. At Geno's, their team recommends checking your brakes every 5,000 miles. Stop in this week and they'll check your brakes for free. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, the Geno's team will back up their work with Napa's nationwide peace of mind warranty. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop off your car and pick it up when ready. Geno's continues their public service work, partnering with Hands of the Carpenter and donating work on vehicles for single mothers or women in need. Check out all their Google reviews for a good snapshot of their business. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Stop in or visit them online at genosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Franktown Firearms, folks, if you're looking to exercise your Second Amendment right, whether it's the first time buying a gun or you own many, either way, they'll take care of you. And they've always got a great deal and typically have a good stock of ammo at the same time, which everybody's looking for. 720-770-7777 or klzradio.com.
Teach your children responsibility around guns in a safe, welcoming environment. At Franktown Firearms, everyone shares a common goal, to keep on learning. Responsibility requires practice, so head instructor Karen Murray considers herself a lifelong student as well as a teacher. Karen created her own proprietary training courses so people of all ages may develop confidence with firearms. Now, for the first time, only at Franktown Firearms, children as young as 5 years old may learn to keep themselves and others safe in homes with guns. Starting with Airsoft and BBs, you and your children will develop a healthy respect for firearms together. Sign up for one of Karen's classes as a family at klzradio.com/Franktown. First responders, military veterans, and range members receive discounts in the shop. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. We're going to take a little quick break in the action here, get an update of the stock market and such from Scott Garless here in just 1 minute. And then Wade Miller will be joining us here at the about the 540 mark or so, Citizens for Renewing America. We've got an A to Z toolkit for parents and school administrators, anybody that wants to combat critical race theory. So we'll be talking to Wade here towards the bottom of the hour, and then we'll kind of come back and get things finished up. But Scott should be joining us here momentarily as soon as Charlie gets him rounded up. And lots of things happening economically speaking, and it's one of those things that we continue to watch on a regular basis and have not only Scott but multiple others on to let us know where things are at and what you guys can expect in that world. But Scott joining us now, Stansberry Research. How are you, sir? Did you have a good vacation?
Oh, man, John, it was the best.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Good to hear. All right. Lots of changes that potentially could be coming from the Fed. What are you hearing?
Yeah, so there are three people that are sitting on the Fed board currently that are up for renewal in the fall and the beginning of next year. The first is going to be Randall Quarles. He's up for renewal in the fall. So what we can see is the White House decides to not reappoint him to his current post. He's the head of banking supervision. What they would do is they would put another candidate in his place, possibly. To do what happens when they decide not to reelect him. Usually these guys step down. And Quarles is a Trump appointee. Now, the concern would be the person they put in place to replace Quarles is somebody that is more in favor of stimulus spending from the central bank perspective. The next is Richard Clarida. He's up in January of next year. He's the vice chair of the Fed. Again, you would be looking at the same situation. It becomes a political appointee, and the concern there would be more Fed spending. And the last one is Jay Powell. He's up for nomination again in February of next year. And again, same thing could happen. The concern is, you know, we're getting to the point where the economy is really bouncing back. The Fed is drawing closer to the point where they need to pull back on a lot of this spending that's been going on. The concern is if the White House can't get a lot of its agenda done congressionally, if they can't get the Senate and House to approve some of these measures, that might be their next route.
My prediction is that's exactly what they'll end up having to do, because I think right now, Scott, the handwriting's on the wall that they are already struggling to get certain things done. The House is easy. They can get that handled, but they're having a hard time getting things through the Senate. There was even some things this week that didn't happen the way they thought because of that. So I frankly, my prediction would be what you just said, that they do it this way, because I don't think they're going to get it done congressionally.
That's correct. I think that's a very good chance. And the problem with that is, so again, the economy is getting a lot better. We're all seeing this.
Right.
I just spent 5 days of seeing this at Disney. That place was mobbed. There were lines over an hour to wait to get on rides.
That's good. I mean, not good you had to wait, but yes, that's good.
Yeah. No, it was, if that place was 35% capacity, I challenge.
Right.
But yeah, so the problem is, if you get people, the Fed becomes more dovish. That means they're leaning more, in the direction of stimulating the economy more with more easy money policies. You're going to run the risk of really overheating the economy.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we've talked in the past, like,
I think we're on the edge of that now, frankly. That's just my, you know me, that's my opinion as we speak.
Yes, exactly. So right now, what I think you're looking at is it said that there's every year they have an annual central bank symposium in Jackson Hole. And what they normally do is they invite all the big governors from all the other central banks all over the world. And that's a great platform to float new policy changes. And I think what you're probably going to get there this year is the Fed is going to talk about tightening policy once more and trying to make the dollar stronger again. Because they're, you know, the economy has bounced back.
Mm-hmm.
The employment picture, besides the numbers you're seeing, you know, maybe they're not that great, but the available jobs outweighs the number of jobs.
Yeah, the only reason that they're not filling is because we've still got states giving out that quote-unquote, as you said a moment ago, easy money, so they don't have to. Then, you know, my feeling on that is if the states, and the states, by the way, that have pulled that back and aren't offering that, those numbers have, you know, really come down. So, you know, the states like Colorado, where we're going to pay this until September, in Colorado, I don't see the numbers changing until September. And frankly, Scott, that's too long. It doesn't need to wait that long.
It's correct. And so what you're looking at is the Fed has said it wants to recover the 8.1 million jobs that haven't been recovered yet. We had the new job openings numbers come out from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I believe it was on Monday or Tuesday. The number is 9.3 million. So there are more than enough jobs available right now to recover all of those jobs lost.
Yep.
And so that tells me the labor market's pretty tight, and the economy's in a good place. It just, to your point, is with these extra benefits, people are realizing I can make more money by not being at work than I can being at work.
Yeah, we're encouraging, and I've talked about it on the program many times, we're really encouraging, quote-unquote, you know, laziness. I mean, let's just face it, Scott, that's what it is. I mean, if you can stay home, collect a check, and not go to work, I realize in some cases they're making a, you know, fiscally responsible decision, although, I'm a guy that's never drawn unemployment his entire life, and I just never will. It just goes beyond my core to do so, so I'm not going to do that. I guess I'm different than, you know, some folks, and I'm not belittling anybody that would take it, because there are circumstances where I think it's very, you know, justifiable, and there's nothing wrong with it. In this case, though, where we actually need to get we need to get people back to work to get the economy even going more than it already is. These folks that have the ability to go to work and are not need to get to work.
Yes, and the job the Fed has done with all these easy money policies to resuscitate the financial system, to get the economy back to where it was, I completely get it. You know, and I get to with people that may not agree with all the measures they've taken or leaving the policies in place as long as they can. But the Fed is even telling you they need to start pulling back on this stuff. And if they don't, and if we see, you know, governors get in there that are going to continue this for longer than it needs to go, you know, then you really do start to have conversations about, hey, are we headed back toward 1970-style inflation? Because you can't keep the dollar weak forever.
Well, so what do you think they do? Okay, a couple of scenarios.
Yep.
Things don't get passed in Senate. They don't, you know, the White House doesn't get what it wants as far as spending, infrastructure, all those things. The economy, though, as more and more people come off unemployment, as we just discussed, and things start to become more robust because we've got people working, spending money, and doing things, do we have enough and I mean, I'm going to say this in the correct manner. Do we have enough smart people at the top to recognize that when the economy's coming back and it's doing well, we don't have to stimulate the economy through giveaways? Do we have people there smart enough to understand that?
Well, yeah, I think that's the whole fight you're seeing with the infrastructure plan right now. And I think that's why they can't get the infrastructure bill done in D.C.
So then, let's say that doesn't happen. So we're going to move now. Maybe we're into, you know, we're getting towards the fourth quarter of the year. They didn't get their infrastructure bill, or if they did, it was way scaled back. So they didn't get what they wanted. So they now start changing the Fed board around, like you opened up, you know, talking about. What can or cannot the Fed do at that point? Because, you know, the Fed's not in charge of budgets and things along those lines. They can set interest rates and buy bonds and do things along those lines. But, you know, they cannot, quote unquote, spend money. They can funnel money, but they can't spend it. Am I right?
Yes, yes. The Fed is appointed, you know, by the president, but it's actually an independent body from the government. It's the central bank of the United States, and the idea is it's supposed to be the lender of last resort.
Mm-hmm.
But what they would do is exactly what you said. They would do things like they would keep rates low. They would keep buying bonds. They might even step up on purchases, which would expand the balance sheet. And it would be because of, you know, somebody that they appointed that was on board with some sort of policy agenda.
Well, Janet Yellen is, and she's going to tell them the same thing. So I can see that very easily happening.
Yeah.
Because Janet doesn't think there's any issues going on right now at all. I mean, if you were to talk to her and have a cup of coffee with her, she thinks everything's hunky-dory.
Yeah, well,
I'm laughing, but really, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but at least the impression she gives the general public is that's what she thinks.
100%. And so, look, Janet Yellen was appointed by Obama. She is very much of the Keynesian school of economics,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, basically the government sits there and supports the economy. So, you know, some of Janet Yellen's, what she's been saying is not very far from what the Keynesian school of economics believes. And some of that has turned into what people talk about, call modern monetary theory, which is basically just spending to support economic growth.
And she's the point where she's even, you know, there's an article that I read where, you know, she's even willing to, you know, contribute to the $6 trillion budget to help low-income countries. Now, last time I checked, Scott, that's not really our responsibility.
No, it's certainly not the role of the central bank.
Yeah, we should not be in the business, especially the Fed, of worrying about what other countries are doing and whether or not they're able to recover or not. That's up to their own countries to figure out, not ours.
Yeah, again, the Fed is there to make sure that the U.S. financial system is sound. You know, and to do things like they've done to resuscitate it so that we don't have, you know, massive foreclosures and the economy falls apart. And they've done a good job of that. But now we're starting to get to the point where they need to start ending that. And we've already seen some steps in that direction.
Let's hope that continues. So now as we kind of switch gears and we look at, you know, the future in regards to certain areas of the economy, what's going to continue to do well. I read coming into the show today, you know, the largest, you know, lumber company in the United States that provides the most lumber, talking about what things look like down the road. And is this just a blip with lumber prices, or are they going to stay high for a while? And this particular person's, you know, the CEO's thought process is that this is a blip, although he put a caveat into that by saying, yeah, it's a blip, and he thinks it's a blip because he's going to try everything they possibly can to up the supply. But on the same token, he realizes the demand for lumber, given how many housing starts we need over the next 10 years, there's just no way we can meet that demand. So in a way, a lot of this is probably going to stay high for a while. So question is, what do folks invest in?
You know, again, I love financials. One of the reasons I really like financials a lot is because the Fed should have to raise rates or start tightening policy anyway. And what that will do is it'll drive the yield curve back up. Banks will start to make more money. Banks should be making more money anyway because loan growth is going to be picking up with the resuscitating economy. If you do start to see policy tightening, I think you could be looking at like an 80 to 100% gain in the XLF, which is the banking ETF over the next 4 years. Just looking back at some past track records when we've been in a similar situation, I also like another one, an energy ETF. It's the XLE. And again, you know, we've talked about this in the past, but a lot of the policies going on right now coming out of the White House are constricting future supply of energy, right, as or of oil and gas as demand is rebounding. And that is going to drive prices back up.
I agree.
And as it drives prices up, energy companies are going to make more money. And when they make more money, they're going to pay down debt, they're going to increase dividends, and they're going to buy back stock. And all of that is going to be good for shareholders. You know, when Obama first took office in, what was that, 2009, and a year and a half later, energy prices were up, I want to say it was 190%, or oil prices were up 190%. So that's another reason. And we're seeing a similar sort of situation play out right now. And that is a reason to own energy stocks. There's still a lot of room for these things to run. I think oil could be $100 by midterms.
Okay. And by the way, I'm not going to argue with on that one. I think you're probably correct. I wouldn't have said that a year ago because there just wasn't any way it was going to get anywhere as close to that. But with a lot of the things this administration has done, yeah, I could see it doing that. Now, one other thing that I'm hearing on the street, and I don't know how true this is, and I'm an auto guy, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around this to see if this is even a feasible thing, or is this just a lot of folks out there, you know, kind of drumming, beating the drum is what I'm trying to say. And that is, there's some theories out there, Scott, that this chip shortage isn't really as bad as everybody says, and that a lot of these manufacturers, because of the pressure being put on them by, you know, the Biden administration to make quote unquote green cars, that a lot of this inventory they're just letting dry up on purpose so they can switch gears into this quote unquote clean energy. And in some cases, they may not even return to some of the vehicles that they made prior to this chip shortage. And I don't know how much of that to believe or not.
Well, so when you look at chips and you look at auto chips in particular, auto chips aren't high margin chips for a lot of the semiconductor manufacturing companies. Where they make high margins are like gaming chips.
That's right. Yeah, because these are very basic chips that they're using in a lot of these modules on the cars. They're not doing a lot of functions.
Exactly. So what these guys, you know, if there's a chip shortage, you know what you're going to make first? You're going to make the chips that make you the most money. And so the chips are used for things like, you know, with Bitcoin mining. Those are graphic cards
right.
that NVIDIA makes.
Right.
And so they make them a lot of money. And in cloud computing chips. They
right.
make these guys a lot of money. So as long as demand for that stuff stays high, they're going to be making those chips first and foremost. And it's unfortunate, but because car chips fall in the lower echelons of margins, they're looking to make profits. And that's just what companies are in business to do. Otherwise, they can't employ people and spend money.
I agree with you.
So, you know, the other bigger thing here that really worries me with that industry, 60%, maybe 60% plus of all the global semiconductors are made in Taiwan.
That's right.
And if you look at what China's saying, China is very aggressively looking at annexing Taiwan and
yep.
bringing it back into the fold of Greater China. And there's a big reason why they want to do that, because 60% of all the world's technology components being semiconductors, you know, I think they're the most critical technology component, 60% of them are made in Taiwan. And guess what China has access to if they suddenly take all that industry over?
All
Everybody's
of that.
Technology
that's
secrets.
Right. That's right. You're right.
And so that's why you're seeing Apple came out a month or two ago and said, hey, we're going to invest $430 billion in U.S. technology, $430 billion in U.S. technology infrastructure. That's why Intel is in a rush to build manufacturing plants here. I think they realize how dear it is
yep.
to have more manufacturing at home because
yep.
they really do have to protect themselves from this. It's no joke. China
you know,
makes
you know, right.
not their intent.
And give Apple credit, you know, whether folks like them or not. A couple of years ago, they decided they were going to heavily invest into their M1 chip, which is actually the computer I'm looking at and I'm working on talking to you right now, has an M1 chip. It's a chip they make themselves. They're not relying on any outside source to handle that. And to your point, they're going to now move all of that into the, you know, into the walls of the United States of America. So you know, you look at companies like that, and Apple wasn't so dumb a couple of years ago to head that direction, because a lot of naysayers back then said they were. Well, turned out they weren't so dumb after all.
And the great thing about that is going to be good for the entire technology industry in the U.S. because if Apple is going to invest those resources in those types of companies, they're going to make sure they are good companies that have strong production lines. And then what you're going to see is other companies will migrate to that supply chain, and they'll do the same, and they'll just get better and better, and it'll make it more competitive. And, you know, they'll also be selling in their home market, and I bet you'll find out that they wind up saving a lot of money in transportation costs and other production fees.
Agree. All right, Scott Garlis, Stansberry Research. Scott, what's the website they can find you?
Yeah, StansberryInvestor.com. You can check out our free stuff. You can check out our paid stuff. You know, we're there to help the little guy.
You're awesome. Scott, I appreciate it, sir. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Jeff.
You bet. Take care. We'll have Wade Miller joining us here in just one moment. Don't go anywhere. Extreme Auto Repair is up next, folks. And we just got done talking about vehicles. And it's going to be tough to buy a new vehicle anytime soon unless it's something that's unique and or you've had on order and, you know, sort of have a pre-purchase agreement made. Otherwise, it's going to get tough. And keep that vehicle you've got running as long as possible is the key here. KLZradio.com. Find Extreme there. Fill out the form there, and you will get free wiper blades or a tire rotation. That's Extreme Auto Repair.
Longevity counts for mechanical repairs. The factory-trained technicians at Extreme Auto Repair have an average of almost 13 years' experience per technician. So at this point, almost nothing surprises them. After so many combined years on the job, they've seen just about every weird problem your vehicle could have. Even in those rare cases where they really have to dig, they don't give up until they find a solution. John Rush has been recommending Extreme Auto Repair on Rush to Reason for nearly 6 years now, so he's seen their persistence firsthand. They have a reputation for solving problems no one else could. Make Extreme Auto Repair your last mechanic. Long-time radio supporters, long-term techs, repeat customers. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/extreme for your free windshield wipers or tire rotation. Extreme Auto Repair. Promises kept.
Flesh and Beck, folks, if you need some help legally speaking, Kevin and his team is there to help you. And again, it's not just Kevin. There is a whole team behind him helping you when it comes to these sorts of things. So no matter what it is, whatever you got going on legally speaking, give Kevin a call today, 303-806-8886, or his website, fleshlawfirm.com, and that's spelled F-L-E-S-C-H.
Some skills you only develop through practice. In October of this year, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law celebrates 25 years defending both civil and criminal cases. He has earned the tagline, trial tested, trial ready. In civil cases such as personal injury, your attorney has the burden of proof to persuade a jury that you deserve a certain sum of money in return for your pain and suffering. However, because only a small percentage of personal injury cases go to trial, most personal injury attorneys do not spend much time in the courtroom over the course of their careers. Kevin Flesh stands apart from the rest because he represents both criminal and civil cases. After an estimated couple hundred jury trials, Kevin has learned how a jury reacts to evidence. He knows how to gauge how much money a jury will likely award in your case. Trial tested, trial ready for 25 years. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. As I said earlier, Wade Miller joining us now. And Citizens for Renewing America, they just released an A to Z toolkit for parents, school administrators, or anyone who wants to combat critical race theory. Wade, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us. This is something we actually took a little break a moment ago to talk about the stock market and things going on there, but we've really been talking about this quite a bit today. So this is, and you'll be our last guest today to sort of recap or, you know, kind of send us off, if you would. And this is a hot topic right now. We've seen several videos, even in the last week, of angry parents standing in front of school boards really saying, you know, enough is enough. We want to fix things. And it sounds to me like you guys have some tools to help them.
We absolutely do, and I think it's important to note that this is a bipartisan uprising. We've seen a lot of parents who are just as willing to say, you know, the phrase Black Lives Matter, but the second that they realize that their student is being, that claims are being made or that their student is being told that they're racist because of the injustices that perhaps three or four generations ago were committed simply because of the color of their skin or the sex that they were born, that's a real red flag for parents of all stripes and all political persuasions. So I've been dealing with this issue for quite a long time, although I think in the last 6 to 9 months there started to be a galvanization of the movement here, as you noted, with all the parents that are now starting to get angry and go to their school board meetings and raise a fuss about it. But when I was a chief of staff for a House Freedom Caucus member in Washington, D.C., I was starting to get a kind of a trickle of claims from people in corporate America on the trainings that they were getting from people in colleges, from their college professors, from government employees that were receiving trainings that they thought were over the line. And so we really started to dig into this, and we worked with a lot of people over time. And, you know, people like Russ Vogt, who's the president of Center for Renewing America, and he's the one who helped President Trump actually pass an executive order to ban these trainings in the federal government, which, of course, President Biden overturned.
Right.
But we decided to put that what was really missing here was, you know, what is it exactly and what is it not? For instance, it's okay to teach about slavery. It's okay to teach about
racism. Part of our history.
Right. That's not what critical race theory is. Critical race theory essentially divides society up into groups based on race, basically positing that there's an oppressor class and an oppressed class. And it can include any type of subgroup. It can include disabled people. It can include sexuality. It can include anything. But at the end of the day, the long and short of it is that the people who developed this theory wanted to create this idea that would help them essentially undo most of American society. Because even as Kimberly Crenshaw, one of the leading proponents and theorists, she wrote in one of her books that all of the people that helped her develop this theory early on were committed Marxists. She said it. This isn't a conspiracy theory.
Right.
She said it. So part of what we wanted to do is to take all that we've read, all of the dense kind of academic works, break it down into a simple to understand format, and then walk people through what is it, how do you spot it, how do you counter claims that people are going to make against you to say that either this isn't being taught in the schools. It probably is, but in some cases maybe that's not the case. But it doesn't just appear as critical race theory all the time. There's like 70 or 80 other buzzwords that are often used, and we link to a list that kind of helps you identify, if it doesn't outright say critical race theory, where it is. But to help parents then identify it, mobilize, and then figure out how they can fix this from the school board up. And we figure if we target this at the local school board, and make this a bottom-up strategy. Get into the state school boards, get into the state legislatures, get into Congress. And we're working actively, of course, with members of Congress on this, whether it's Representative Chip Roy or Representative Dan Bishop or Senator Tom Cotton or Senator Cruz. But as we all know, there's nothing's going to move right now at the federal level, which is why we think this is such a critical and, frankly, more appropriate fight for parents in their hometowns and their school boards to tackle it.
I also know you divided this handbook, let's call it that, this handbook into three sections. Make sure that we, you know, give everybody the information on this. The first section, like you said a moment ago, knowing and identifying CRT, so critical race theory, whether that's in your school or not. And then yet you guys move on to that and say, okay, great, now let's grow our network so that we can actually start to combat this. And then the last one, I believe, it's not in front of me, but I believe it has to do with winning back the school board, right?
It is. It's more focused on the campaign aspect and political aspect of what it would take to replace school board members, whether that's communications, social media, funding. Are there PACs out there now supporting, like the 1776 PAC, which is a new PAC that's formed to help local school board candidates who are committed to opposing CRT? But it gets into the whole thing. How do you file paperwork, links to municipal elections information in your state? We have one for all 50 states, and it goes on and on and on. We really try to outline everything that you'll probably need to know, and there's a lot that's missing. Even though it's 30 something pages of detailed information, what we're going to do is we're putting it out there. We already consulted with many grassroots activists, elected officials, lawyers. We've got model legislation in there for school boards to take up that would effectively ban critical race theory. We talked to school board members, the whole gamut of people that you could probably, campaign consultants, And I use my own experience with grassroots activism and also my heavy experience with both policy and campaign activity. And we tried to create as comprehensive of a guide as we could. So anyone who just is fed up, not particularly plugged in to anything, but sees this and wants to stop it, this would be an A to Z guide on how to get there. And we're hoping to solicit feedback. What's missing? What are some really helpful resources? And I think later this summer we'll come out with a version 2, kind of a back-to-school special of sorts, and try to reinvigorate parents to pay attention to curriculum as their kids are getting back in school.
Again, folks, we're talking to Wade Miller, Citizens for Renewing America, and that website. And by the way, we'll have all this on our own website tonight as well. It's Citizen, make sure I say this right, citizensrenewingamerica.com. Am I saying that right, Wade?
Yes, sir.
And it's Citizens with an S. I make sure that we say that correctly so you guys get the right URL. Again, go to the website tonight, rushtoreason.com. You can click on that, and I'll have all that up, and you can just find it really easy. And if I'm not mistaken, Wade, the minute I went to the website, the first thing that really came up on the website visiting was, hey, do you want to see this guide? So it's really easy to find. There's no issues there.
Yeah, we want to make it as helpful as possible. And look, there's no pride of authorship here. All we care about is the information gets disseminated. If people want to download that, put their own thoughts and spin on it and share that with their networks, they're perfectly fine to do so. We give people, you know, full permission to, you know, distribute that as they see
appreciate
fit.
That.
We just
yeah.
want to make sure
yeah. makes sense.
That the information gets into the hands of the people who need it.
Well, that makes sense because in some cases, some may have even a little bit more insight into their own local school board that, you know, they could add to what's in the book. But I guess the other thing I appreciate about the book is not only do you help folks identify if it's there, but then you help them with the answers as to why we don't want it there.
Right. And that's actually one of the leading excuses we've seen from school board members is we don't have critical race theory, so there's no need to do this. And to that I would say that there's a good chance that they're wrong because this has actually been percolating mm-hmm. now in diversity, equity, and inclusion training, social emotional learning trainings. There's a good chance that they're wrong, but you know, if they are right, let's be proactive and not let it seep into our school systems yeah. before it's too late. I mean, it's devastating to think how many children have already been corrupted with this kind of anti-American, self-hating curriculum for 2, 3, 4, even 5 or 6 years, depending on the school system now. Those are years we can't get back.
Wade, I will go even farther and say we've done this for at least a couple of generations, maybe not to the degree we are today, but this has been going on, and they've been working at this. Well, they've been working at it since 1950, but literally the last couple of generations especially.
Oh, I 100% agree there. We've seen a marked uptick often by committed Marxists in the college academia who try to filter these things down, but even people who I don't think you would necessarily describe as Marxists, but maybe just progressives or liberals, have been really trying to undercut the idea of American exceptionalism. And whether or not it was technically critical race theory or not,
right.
This has been an overarching strategy for a very long time from the committed left.
Yep.
And I think that, like
yep.
I said earlier on, whether you call yourself a Democrat or Republican, I think that we can all agree that it's really important that people, especially children, be taught to be proud of themselves,
yep.
be proud of their country, to be proud of the progress that our country's made, despite, you know, things that we've had to overcome. And it's perfectly fine to teach
yep.
an honest
Agreed.
Assessment of the downsides of our history. The
that's right. That's
that
how we learn from it. You know, if we don't, we're doomed to repeat it. So we have to learn from it. I'll just add one thing to what you were saying too, Wade, and we're on the same page. All that's happened in the last 5, 6 years is these individuals have just gotten more brazen when it comes to what can we put inside of the public school. It's always been there kind of on a subtle, maybe in a subtle way. All that's happened in the last 4 or 5 years, especially the last couple, they just are more brazen. It's right in your face, and they don't care.
I agree, and you see it in the trainings, the things that teachers are being told that they have to do. And a lot of it is because they're seeing it in corporate HR departments, they're
mm-hmm.
seeing it in commercials, they're seeing it from the government itself through either official reports. I mean, there's a Smithsonian report that came out, you know, about a year ago, and it was just chock full of that kind of stuff, really vile things. I mean, I've seen reports coming out accusing babies as old as 3 months old as being racist.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, I've got a three-year-old, you know, a three-month-old can barely, you know,
right.
move,
right.
let alone think thoughts about
right.
racism. It's, but you're right. I think all of this is self-reinforcing, and it's making I think the radical left feel more inclined and more safer to start pushing some of the more radical orthodoxies because they know that corporations and the media aren't going to call them out for it any longer. In fact, in many cases, they'll cover for them or encourage it.
That's exactly right. Okay, one last thing. Wade Miller again joining us, Citizens for Renewing America. And I've been to the website. I've seen what's there. A lot of folks listening haven't. There's other things you guys do besides just this, you know, critical race theory end of things in the schools. What other things are you doing that folks need to be involved in?
Oh, sure. So we will cover the full kind of spectrum of conservative policy analysis. But right now, you know, we've been heavily focusing on border issues, whether it's Title 42, Remain in Mexico policy, and what does that mean with our borders and migrants and human trafficking and cartels. We're focusing on the emerging threat of China, which is really starting to take some insane moves. We're focusing on, you know, as kind of an evergreen issue, big government, whether that's spending, budget, deficits, so on and so forth, and cultural Marxism as kind of a 30,000-foot view, of which critical race theory is just one component. You've got other components, whether it's action civics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it goes on. We'll be keeping an eye on just about anything you can keep an eye on from a kind of traditional conservative perspective, religious liberties, all of the things that are under attack by the radical far left. And we kind of consider ourselves the America First wing of the America First movement.
Awesome. Wade, it's been a joy having you. Anytime you want to come on, you're welcome. This is good stuff. And we'll put all this stuff up on the website tonight where folks can find it that way.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I appreciate it. Wade, I do very much. And Ann's already got some things going for all of you listening that's already on the website as we speak, including some of the guests from today. So just go to rushtoreason.com. You'll find it all there. It's really easy. Let's take a quick time out, though. Novus Auto Glass coming up next. And, man, we heard from Chris up in Fort Collins earlier. These are great people. They believe in what we believe in. They want to help you. They want to help your vehicle. They also know right now that replacing that vehicle is going to be tough. They work with all the insurance companies as well. And don't forget, you can get that free windshield Band-Aid, I guess we call it, the little sticker that goes over the chip or crack to keep it clean. So by the time you get it fixed, everything's good to go, and it just helps in that repair process. Find them again at rushtoreason.com. Look for Novus there. It's N-O-V-U-S.
As the inventor of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass saves you money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at a repair by acting fast. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack irreparable. For KLZ listeners only, Novus will send you a packet of protective windshield stickers for free. Little pieces of specially designed tape to cover any chips or cracks as soon as they appear, like a bandage for your glass. Request your free windshield patches now at klzradio.com/glass. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. klzradio.com/glass.
All right, Al Smith, Golden Eagle Financial, have him on your side as you look ahead and decide what to do, where to go, where to put your money. That's where Al comes into play, including, hey, when do I take Social Security? Those are the things Al can help you with. Find him at klzradio.com, 303-744-1128.
Walk out of Al Smith's office feeling great about your retirement plan. Think about how you feel after talking to your current financial advisor. Worried that you might run out of money. Uncertain about whether or not you've saved enough, confused about what sort of budget you'll have in retirement. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, will help you strategize so the money you've already saved will meet your future goals. Tell Al Smith how much you currently have in your 401k or IRA. He will show you how to make that money last. Reinvesting your nest egg into alternative tax-free accounts will preserve your wealth for the future. You've done well setting money aside all those years. Now you just need to know the next step. Find out how your years of saving will fit into your retirement plan. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Networks change, benefits change, prescription plans change, and premium costs go up. So you want an independent broker who will compare plans from many different insurance companies, hunting for the right coverage at the best price for you. Group Insurance Analysts, 303-423-0162.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, that's it for today. And as I said earlier, producer Ann has everything up on the website. So if you want to go there right now and check out the things we've talked about today, it's all there. Tomorrow it'll be myself and Andy. We've got a new movie review, Peter Rabbit 2. Al Smith will join us as well. We'll talk about inflation and how to prepare for that. And then movie rental reviews with myself, Andy, and Richard. It'll be your favorite movies from the 2000s. So that'll be it tomorrow. If you missed the first hour, catch it next. Otherwise, myself, Charlie, we're out of here. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.